Dean turned in the direction of the wag engine's revving, staring into the depths of the junkyard.
Sounds like our plan's just gone to hell.
A jeep burst out of hiding from under a pile of smashed wags, flanked by two motorcycles. All of the vehicles looked as if they'd been cobbled together out of spare parts, stripped of any unnecessary cosmetic parts, and reduced to skeletal remnants. Gunners riding in the back of the jeep and on the back of the motorcycles cut loose at the two riders. Pulling on the reins, Dean broke off the direct approach, but saw that the Baron's riders were closing in.
Yeah!
Dean rode low, making as small a target as possible, and headed in a full gallop toward the oncoming riders. Gunfire from the cohorts lashed into the Baron's men, emptying two of the saddles. A bullet cut through Dean's shirt, and he felt the heat of its passing. He spotted JB to his left. The armorer exchanged shots with a mounted man, but neither of them appeared to be hit. Cutting hard to the right, Dean guided the horse in a wide loop back to the fence surrounding the junkyard. One of the motorcycles pulled away from the jeep and pursued him. Urging his mount to greater speed, the boy raced up a small promontory overlooking the fenced area. On top of the incline, the horse found it had no way to go but forward.
Giddy up, horse!
Dean felt the big animal's muscles bunch, then suddenly, horse and rider were hurled into the air. At first, Dean thought the horse was going to clear the fence, but its back hoof got caught in the strands of barbed wire at the top. Coming down off balance, the horse rolled on its side. Dean cleared the saddle, rolling himself. He came up on his knees as the motorcyclists attempted to make the same jump he tried. Dean targeted the first motorcycle in the air. Dean turned his attention to his second adversary. The man had landed in a heap, but somehow he came up with his revolver in his hand. Coolly, the younger Carter stroked the Browning's trigger. Dean pushed himself up and raced back toward the entrance to the junkyard. Movement ahead and to Dean's left drew his attention. He barely kept his finger from squeezing the Browning's trigger as the dirty face of a blonde-haired little girl looked up at him. Dean's hand shook as he took the gun sight off her.
Holy shit, kid! What do you think you're...
Suddenly, a man leapt at Dean, a lockback knife bared in his fist.
No!
JB sat astride his lathered horse and nodded towards Christy, her hands and feet tied.
What's wrong with her?
I'll tell you later. In the meantime, don't listen to her, whatever she says. And keep her tied.
Ryan swung Christy up to his friend. JB grabbed the woman's belt and heaved her over the saddle in front of him. Ryan glanced out at the open space in front of the junkyard. The Baron's men and the Slaggers had declared all-out war on each other, and it was difficult to tell who was getting the better end of it. Horses and men lay scattered across the torn, bloody earth.
Where's Dean?
I saw him get across the fence, chill two cold hearts and a motorcycle.
Junkyard's the only chance we've got to remain mobile and get out of the rain.
That's what Dean and I figured. We were going to soften them up with grins, get them used to the idea, but they came at us before we were ready.
Then we'll do it now.
Ryan put away the Sig Sauer and slid the Steyr off his shoulder. He gazed across to the entrance of the junkyard.
There's still a lot of ground to cover. Get Christy across first. We'll follow.
Right. Mildred?
It's okay, John. I'll be along.
I'll be holding down the fort.
Do that. But keep an eye peeled for those bastard dogs. I don't think we've killed them all off yet.
Right.
Okay, people, let's go. Jack, you've got point. Mildred, you're after him, then Doc. I'm walking slack. But if you slow down out there, I'm going to kick your skinny ass all the way to that junkyard.
Friend Ryan, these legs may well be old, but I wager you shall be eating my dust. Fear lends this old heart a certain alacrity in nearly every happenstance. Onward! Ever onward!
Jack led them out, but it soon proved impossible to run in a straight line. They had to dodge dead men and horses, then the combatants. The Baron's horsemen had retreated into the rubble and started picking off some of the slaggers on foot. The withering fire from the horsemen cut into the numbers of the cold hearts and drove them back to cover. The companions were halfway to the junkyard when Ryan spotted Halleck pointing at them. A group of slaggers charged towards a nearby jeep and roared off in pursuit, streaking for the companions. Ryan stopped and brought the Steyr up to his shoulder. He put the crosshairs over the driver's side of the windshield. The uneven ground and the worn springs of the jeep made the target elusive. Ryan missed killing the driver, though he felt certain he had hit a female passenger.
Fire blast.
Ryan turned and ran. The jeep bore down on him, and a pair of bullets ripped through his coat. Ryan threw himself aside at the last moment. The wag's bumper slammed into him with bruising force, clipping him and driving him to the ground. Ryan managed to hang on to the Steyr during his fall, but even as he reached his knees, he saw the wag bearing down on him again.
Run that fucker down! No!
No! Dean ducked under the man's knife arm and kicked his leg hard enough to topple him. Before the man could get back up, Dean screwed the barrel of the high power into the side of his neck.
Stop, you stoop bastard, or I'll blast your triple ugly face off!
Ah, don't kill my paw! Please don't kill my paw!
If it hadn't been for the little girl's pleas, Dean might have pulled the trigger. Now he hesitated, and inwardly cursed himself because he didn't think his father would have hesitated at all. Survival was self first, not the other guy. Dean looked square into the man's frightened eyes.
Your choice, mister. I chill you, I don't chill you. It's all the same to me. But you'd be leaving her out here all alone.
You're not one of the slaggers?
I don't even know who the slaggers are.
They're the cold hearts. They're the ones that brung us here.
If that's true, then maybe we got a common problem.
Mister, I just want to get my little girl out of here. We were on our way north. Got relatives up there.
We lost Charity's mom a couple months ago, and I couldn't see a reason to hang around that Fiddlerville anymore. We were following the river, same as some of these other folk, when those cold hearts jumped us and brought us here. That's a God's truth.
How many are here?
Cold hearts?
Yeah.
Must be 3-4 dozen.
Dean knew it was considerably less than that now. He pulled the Browning's barrel out of the man's neck and glanced at the child.
I'm not gonna kill your pa, little girl.
Okay, if I get up now.
Sure.
Dean stepped back, giving himself room to move. He kicked the lockback knife to the man with his boot toe. The man pushed himself up and took the little girl in his arms.
I ain't no killer. First time I ever drew a weapon on anybody.
Every man's a killer. Sometimes he just doesn't meet his victim, that's all. Pick up your knife, you may need it.
Dean hurried toward the entrance as he saw JB come galloping through with Christy across his saddle. Ryan dived, no longer able to twist away from the wag bearing down on him. He rolled over the dead horse in front of him, then scurried against the animal's back for shelter. The wag didn't slow, smashing into the horse's huge corpse and rolling over it. The tires pushed roughly across Ryan, but the wag's full weight never settled on him because of the horse. He rose to his knees and pulled the Steyr up again. Ryan blew away the 2 cold hearts in the back of the wag before anyone knew he was still alive. Halleck spun in the passenger seat, wiping the blood from his face that sprayed from the dead man falling toward him.
He's still alive! Turn the wag around!
Ryan let the Jeep come, the driver full in his sights. He squeezed the trigger and shot the man through the forehead. Out of control, the wag continued hurtling forward. Halleck grabbed for the dead driver and pushed the corpse out. By that time, Ryan had reached the entrance to the junkyard. Dean and the rest of the companions were engaged in a firefight with Cold Hearts, who seemed to be in short supply. He glanced up at the stacks of crushed wags that reached 30 feet tall. They created a maze across the junkyard. In places, some of the stacks had fallen, toppling like dominoes to bring other stacks down with them. One toppled stack lay across a small building to the right of the entranceway. Built under the tumbled wreckage, the building had become an armored fortification. Crushed wags covered the top and all sides except the front. Pieces of other wags had been dragged into position in front of the building, creating an armored shell, as well as camouflage. The companions were scattered, facing the small building with the junkyard entranceway behind them and to the right. Doc and Jack lay hidden behind a wag 20 feet from JB and Mildred's position to Ryan's right. Dean crouched over Christy protectively, JB's dead horse only an arm's reach away. Ryan raced to join them.
Dark night. Didn't see that bastard fortification until I was almost on top of it. Bastard shot my horse out from under me.
Christy?
She's okay, Dad.
Grimly, Ryan realized that Halleck had left the entrance to the junkyard open on purpose. The horsemen had come hunting him, and he'd evidently been expecting them. The plan had been to drive the attackers into the junkyard, allowing them to think they were getting refuge from the chemstorm, while actually, they'd be stepping into a crossfire. It was a good plan.
We can try to slip by them, but they've got a good position. Some people over there tried to get loose, but the gunners inside the building cut them down before they could get away.
We can't stay pinned down here.
Ryan looked out at the WAG. Halleck was gathering his men to him. Then, for the first time, Ryan noticed the scattering of human bones around the front of the junkyard. Most of them were nearly covered by the drifting sand and the flowered weeds that crawled up from the earth. All of them had bite marks on them. Maybe the dogs were the only ones that ate the victims that had been trapped in the crossfire before, but Ryan kept remembering the ghoulies.
How many men inside the fort?
Don't know for sure. A dozen, maybe. And those assholes with the jeep? They're not gonna wait long out there. The chemstorm doesn't give them much choice.
Doesn't give us much choice either. What about the people you said were in here?
JB nodded toward a recessed area on the other side of the space facing the fortified building.
Over there. Looks to be people the Cold Hearts captured.
They are. Jack and I saw them earlier. Should be a woman among them. Her name's Florin. I want her found.
How do you know her?
I don't. But she's what's wrong with Christy.
I'll find her, Dad. If she's the reason Christy's tied up now, not being herself, then I'll make sure she's found quick.
Do it then. And stay low.
He nodded and seemed to disappear into the ground near the overturned WAG. Ryan glanced back at the jeep. Halleck was having problems of his own. The slaggers weren't having much luck getting together without getting shot by the Baron's men.
I'm gonna need you to cover me, JB.
You gonna kick in the door?
I don't see any other way. Jack?
Yeah?
Circle around the junkyard fort in the opposite direction.
If those other Cold Hearts attack while we're spread out, we aren't gonna be able to hold.
I know. See you in a few.
Ryan moved out, finding cover where he could. He crept up on the side of the junkyard fort, the Sig Sauer leading the way. He glanced across the door and found Jack already poised on a section of the car above the fort. The view that the men inside the building had was limited. They hadn't planned for a quarry that had time to think and move, or one that was used to moving so quickly. Two windows, one on either side of the door, looked out over the junkyard. At Ryan's signal, Jack hung from his feet and leaned down to just past the top of the window. The albino opened fire. He pulled himself up only a second or two before return fire hammered the window's casement. Spinning quickly, Ryan thrust the Sig Sauer into the window. When the 9mm weapon blew back empty, Ryan was certain no more than three men remained alive inside the room. He spun toward the door instead of the side of the fort. Jack dropped into position through the window again. Jack flipped to the ground, landing effortlessly on his feet on the other side of the door.
Two men left. Back corners.
Stepping forward, Ryan turned and rammed his left shoulder into the door, putting all of his 200-plus pounds behind the effort. Smoke from homemade black powder hazed the room and filled it with a sulfuric stench. Two men in the back corner raised their weapons.
You missed.
Ryan turned his attention back to the companions, stepping outside to wave them in. Mildred came first, followed by Doc, who carried Christie's unconscious body gently in his arms. JB stood guard as Dean got the Cold Hearts prisoners moving. Two of the men carried a twisted old woman dressed in homespun breeches and a curious tunic.